Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. A Superior Court judge recently ruled the Town of Fenwick Island's policy allowing artificial entities like LLCs to vote in municipal elections is legal, rejecting an ACLU lawsuit against the small coastal town challenging the practice. Although it's a lower court ruling that doesn't set policy or precedent for the state, the decision has attracted attention from national media outlets. And a leading House Democrat is seeking to amend Delaware's constitution to end the practice of these entities voting in Delaware municipalities. This week, Delaware Public Media state politics reporter Benta Boutier delved into this issue with the director of the University of Delaware's John L. Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance, Larry Cunningham.
The town of Fenwick is pretty small. This has garnered some national attention. Reuters has covered this, Bloomberg. If you can talk a little bit about why you think this has garnered so much attention.
There are two reasons. One, it's an emotional and somewhat political topic when non-humans get to vote on anything, especially in elections of public officials. And I think the second point is that Delaware is the leading state of incorporation for most large companies and most small businesses, and a lot of family trusts are organized in Delaware. So people put the two of them together and start to think, what's happening there in Delaware?
The town of Fenwick allowed entities to start voting in 2008. They had a charter then, right?
It's a common thing, not only in Delaware, but many states across the country, to recognize that a lot of people own property through entities. A little town like this is Fenwick Island, down in the southern part of the state, a coastal seasonal community for maybe a few hundred, 500 folks. A lot of them are from out of state, especially from Washington, D.C., sort of a diplomatic capital of the summer. Those people will very often own their summer home in the name of a family trust or a partnership or a group of people collectively pooling their resources. And all that Fenwick Charter did in 2008 was say, those people shouldn't be disenfranchised because they chose to hold a home and a family trust. So let us permit those trusts to vote. And there's a very specific limit on this right that says that it's still only one person or one entity, one vote. It's not as if I could create 10 little different trusts and own 10 different little properties and vote 10 times. That was a provision of the Newark, Delaware Charter back in 2018 that produced a record number of real estate developers voting 10 or 20 or in one case 31 times. That provoked a lot of the media attention that you're talking about in this case. But in that case, it led to the city repealing that rule. So that's really what's happening. Nevertheless, there are critics who think, oh no, an entity shouldn't ever be allowed to vote in a municipal election. But Fenwick has taken a different policy view on that. They see it as like, if you didn't let these trusts vote, you'd be taxing them without giving them representation.
According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, there are at least two states that allow non-residents to vote in municipal or town elections. That's Delaware here and Connecticut.
Critics make it sound novel and unusual and strange. It's not. It's been going on for hundreds of years in a lot of different jurisdictions. I think the critics, what they're conflating two different things. One is the big, mighty corporation having outsized power in elections, especially for president or Congress, governor or senator. That's just not what's happening here. This is a municipal election in a resort coastal town that is really trying to cater, certainly not to any big corporation, but to these families and how they've decided to create their ownership for various reasons of privacy, of estate planning.
What I'm hearing from you is there's a difference between what this means in theory and what this means in practice.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a general conversation that is worth having. In the specifics of this case, this Superior Court judge faced a very narrow technical legal question, which the ACLU brought to him, said, this charter authorizing entities to vote in municipal elections violates the Delaware state constitution, which requires that all elections in the state be conducted in a fair and equal manner. The ACLU said there's something unfair or unequal about an entity voting. And the judge just confronted that theory or that argument very directly and said, well, it's certainly free. There's no poll tax. There's no price that anybody has to pay. And that's part of what the Constitution was getting at. And the equality point, he said, equality in this setting, it doesn't mean only human beings get to vote. There's an argument that it's more equal by permitting families who own their homes through a trust to participate in the election process. So that's all the court was asked to do, to decide, does this municipal election rule violate that free and equal clause of the Delaware Constitution? The other thing that happens when a municipality in Delaware proposes its election rule book, that gets presented to the Delaware General Assembly, the full legislative body, which has to then approve it and adopt it into law. That's what happened here and in the other several municipalities that have similar kinds of voting rules. And the court, as it's looking at the constitutionality of this mechanism, it gives credit to those other branches of government. There's a presumption in Delaware, announced repeatedly by the Delaware Supreme Court, that legislative enactments are constitutional. So a person challenging, or an entity challenging them, like the ACLU is, has the burden of overcoming that presumption. So this judge, Karsnitz, simply said, you haven't met that burden.
What do you think the town of Fenwick, their duty would be then if a company like Amazon wants to come in and buy property? Do you think they have more of a duty to consider whether that company can come into their town?
I think that's what the ACLU and other critics are most focused on. I don't think they begrudge the family owner of a house that's put in a trust for the benefit of the kids or something like that. They're worried about the big bad corporations asserting outsized political power, talking about a famous U.S. Supreme Court case called Citizens United that sort of recognized political rights in non-human entities, including the Amazons and so on of the world. I wouldn't impose on them any particular duty. I think there's a prudential assessment that any good alderman or city council person would want to go through to see if that really what we want to do. And if there was some particular concern about that, I would assume that they would amend the charter, put it through the legislature in Dover, the General Assembly, and address that problem. That would be a policy judgment. I wouldn't say it's a duty. I think as they're running for election there, that might be part of their plank, that we're in favor of trusts or small companies owning property here in this way, but not big multinationals. I mean, that would be a judgment they'd have to make. That was not the case in front of Judge Karsnitz here. I mean, part of the emotion around this case and this topic is a fear that human beings should be prioritized and entities, whatever they are, a trust or a big corporate entity, or maybe as we move into the AI world, there's some, I think, concern about that distribution of civic power. And I think it's a valid concern and topic. The judge dealt with that. He had a few very interesting passages at his opening of the opinion, talked about this philosophical challenge, right, of humans are, they have biology, they have psychology, and some entities don't have that or not in the same way. So he struggled with that. But then he said, look, that's a different debate than whether an entity has a legal right to something. Here we're debating right to vote in a municipal election, but entities have all sorts of rights, including the right to sue. The ACLU Delaware is an entity. It's not a human being, but it has the right to file this lawsuit. Most entities, like the trusts that we're talking about, the limited liability companies, they all pay taxes. And so, you know, part of the struggle is balancing that set of obligations to pay tax with some voice in the process. It is a complicated topic and worth studying carefully, but I think this case, this particular case, doesn't really raise the bigger, harder questions that the debate is pushing back and forth now.
You don't think a decision here could set a precedent for if the question comes up elsewhere?
This is a trial court. It's the first level of judicial review in a jurisdiction. So it's called the Superior Court, but it's the place where the lawsuit started. If the ACLU were to appeal this to the Delaware Supreme Court, the Supreme Court would review it. And as it reviewed it, it would be reviewing it to establish the law of Delaware. So when it pronounces, it's resolving the particular dispute for sure, but it's also articulating and setting state policy. That's where the real binding authority would be. Now, having said that, if a judge in Seaford, different Superior Court judge, got a similar case, she would certainly have a look at Judge Hartsmith's opinion and think about it, but it wouldn't be bound by it.
Well, the ACLU's announced it does plan to appeal Karsnich's decision.
An organization like the ACLU, which itself tries to establish public policy of a particular type, and so it has to calculate, if we win, that's great. If we lose, it's really bad. So they have to calculate those odds, and I wouldn't really have any particular wisdom to share with them on that. That's something they would be good at making that calculation, I think.
I was in committee yesterday, and Representative Carrie Harris has introduced a bill. It was released from committee yesterday. It would be to amend Delaware's constitution relating to elections and voting. It says this act is the first leg of a constitutional amendment that would require that only natural persons be allowed to vote in any election in this state and forbid corporations and other artificial entities from voting in such elections. This act requires a greater than majority vote. In the context of the discussion we've had leading up to now, what your reaction is to hearing about such a bill being introduced?
I think the author is exactly right that in order to achieve the desired result, this would require amending the constitution of the state. The only language that currently addresses this topic is this requirement that the elections be free and equal. And this legislator is saying, let's make them free and equal and limited to human beings. And as in most republics, amending that fundamental document is designed to be harder than just passing legislation. So you've got to get supermajorities supporting it. And it has to be in two successive legislative sessions of the General Assembly. So it's deliberately difficult to do. I mean, I'm not surprised that there's a cohort of, or at least one member of the General Assembly saying, this is the right policy. The ACLU is right. We should only permit any election to be by a human being.
Thanks to Larry Cunningham, director of the University of Delaware's John L. Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance, and our Bente Boutier for joining us on The Green this week. And The Green continues in a moment with a look at the local impact of recent Trump administration limitations on new green card applications. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.